It was about our great adversary, and I want to continue that. You know, Satan came, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And while they were there worshiping, calling on the Lord, Satan came too. And I'm sure the people that was there in the presence of God didn't know the conversation that was going on between Satan and God. I know Job didn't. Job did not know what was going on. And the Lord asked him to consider his servant Job, perfect man, upright man, just man. God's grace made him that way. And here we have this old serpent. He accuses Job, and he's a slanderer. You know, he's an accuser of the brethren. And he accuses God. He says, now listen, Job, he only serves you because you've blessed him. You've blessed him. He don't serve you just for nothing. He don't serve you because you're God, just because you're holy and because you're righteous. He serves you because you gave him lots and lots and lots and lots of things. You take the things that he belongs to him away from him, and he'll cuss you to your face. Well, that's what he said. He said, you know, that's why you can talk about how good he is all you want to, but when I get done with him, if you'll let me at him, and God said, well, go ahead. Go ahead. And Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. And now while you're looking at Job, I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to see something over here before I get into this message. 1 Peter chapter 5. And you keep Job. And look over here in verse 8. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Is that old serpent. He really exists. He's not an ideal. No more than the Lord Jesus Christ is an ideal. They're both persons. And he told the saints of God here, be sober. That means, you know, pay attention to what you're doing. Don't be a fool. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So I tell you, he tells us here that we have one, and that's what happens here. He's going to, God said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to and fro, walking back and forth, seeking whom I may devour. That's what he wants to do. And what Satan does, he intrudes into holy things. He intrudes into spiritual things. You never see him no place else but in religion. He tempted Christ. He tempted his disciples. He tempted, he appeared in the Garden of Eden. So every place you find him in a spiritual setting. And his purpose is to destroy everything that's good, everything that's holy, everything that's righteous, and try his dead level best to turn a person against God Almighty. That's what he wants to do. If he can turn a man against God and make a person go against God, then he's got him just exactly where he wants him. But I'll tell you something else about him. He's accountable to God himself. God, he had to ask God. And God gave him permission, said, you can go this far and no further. And he told him that twice. He said, you can touch everything he has, but don't touch him. And then you can touch him and his body, but you ain't getting his soul. Ain't getting his soul. And so he told him twice that Satan will cuss you, that Job will cuss you to his maker. And now I'll tell you something about Satan. He's a vagrant in God's universe. He goes to and fro. He ain't got no dwelling place. He's like that unclean spirit that went out of a man. And when he left, he was swept and garnished. I mean, boy, he was cleaned up. That unclean spirit left him. That man got him a cross and put on his lapel and got him some pictures of Jesus and hung on the wall and got him a Bible. He was really cleaned up. That unclean spirit went out into the world. He went here and yonder and he found no rest. He said, well, I ain't got nothing to do but return to where I come from. And when he went back in, he took 7 other devils worse than himself. So I tell you, Satan's purpose is to take people away from God. And he is accuser of the brethren. He said, I tell you, he told God, he said, you let me at him and take away everything that he's got, and he's going to cuss you to your face. And then he turns around and he accuses God and makes God to be something that he's not. He said, God don't really mean what he says he does. Eve, you know this, and Adam, you know this, that God, the only reason that he got you under subjection and tells you not to do certain things because he wants all the glory. He don't want you to have a free will. He don't want you to be independent. He don't want you to have any rights. He wants to control everything. And they believe that lie. And then they said, well, and God said, when you die, I said, oh, no. He won't kill you. He's not a just God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. So he does one thing. He makes people have a bad view of God, and he makes Satan has a bad view of man. And God turns him loose. And I tell you what, but he's slave to a sovereign, eternal, and infinite God. And look what it says there in verse 12 of chapter 1. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only on him, up himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now I don't want to give the impression that Satan's got all this power. Like I just said, God has to give him. He can't do a thing until God says you can do it. Go ahead. Go ahead. And he received permission from God Almighty to deal with Job. And he's such an evil being. He's such an evil being. And he deals first of all with Job's property, his circumstances. And then in chapter 2, he deals with Job personally and his personality. And let me tell you what, he's so quick. He's so enthusiastic in his maliciousness. As soon as he receives permission from God Almighty, you know what he does? First thing he does is he strikes Job's cattle. Huh? Strikes Job's cattle. He causes a fire to fall. Lightning destroyed the sheep and the servants. And I mean, while one's speaking, all this took place probably in the space of an hour or two. I mean, it didn't take a half a day for whatever happened to happen. I mean, it just, this happened, fella come tell it, while he's talking, here comes another one. And while he's talking, here comes another one. All of these people are there, and Job's getting this news. That's how malicious, how mean, how cruel this man is, this Satan is. And then he brought a marauding band, and he comes along and steals his camels and slays his servants. And then the worst of all that he does, the last thing he does, he said, I'll get him where his heart is. I'll get his sons and I'll get his daughters. And a great wind, a hurricane or a tornado come and destroy them. They was enjoying themselves, enjoying one another. And he chooses a time when his stroke at Job would be the very, very worst. Very worst. He went as far as he possibly could. And he didn't spare. He did not spare. He knows nothing of mercy. Nothing of mercy. The more unexpected the troubles, now you know this, the more unexpected the troubles, the more unexpected the calamity, the harder it falls, the worse it feels. He could do no more. He's destroyed in a short space of an hour. A couple hours, this great man of the East. He was the greatest man of the East. And you know what he done in just 2 or 3 hours? Reduced him to a fatherless, childless pauper. It's the wealthiest man was, most powerful man in the East. Beautiful children. They all had successful lives. And when Satan got through with him, he's a childless, childless pauper brought down till he had absolutely nothing left. Huh? And oh my, he was a happy father. Now he's desolate of his children. But I tell you, he had no more authority to go after Job. And I tell you something else, he enjoyed what he did to Job. He delighted in his maliciousness. His maliciousness. Delighted in it. You know, I'll talk about it here in a minute. But what he used to destroy Job, the means that he used wicked men. He used the Sabaeans. He used the Chaldeans. And the scriptures tells us he works in the children of disobedience. Who that, you know, we were children by nature, children of disobedience, in whom the prince of the power of the air was our master. And I tell you, he was allowed to use the natural elements that's in this world. He used lightning. He used tornadoes. He used wicked men. And you know how swift he was to do this? Four times, the first fellow come along and told him what happened. And while he was speaking, another one come. While he was speaking, another come. While he was speaking, another come. Four times, he said, while he was yet speaking. Oh, they just lined up, one right after another. Right after another. And I tell you, they were bearers of misery. Of awful, awful news. How would you like to, you know, it's awful. Awful to have to call somebody up and say, we just found your son or your daughter. Knock on somebody's door and say, is your husband's name such and such? Yes? I hate to tell you this, but we found him. And he's dead. I hate to tell you this, but your two children, do they drive such and such a car? Yes. We found that car wrapped around a tree, and both your kids are gone. And that's the way it was with Job. I mean, they just come and brought one bad news after another, one bad news after another, one bad news after another. He wanted to shock Job, to reduce him to what he claimed he would do. He said, I know when I get done with him, he's going to turn around and cuss you to your face. He's going to stand up and look at you and say, God, I don't have this coming to me. It's not right for you to treat me this way. And I tell you, trials seldom, seldom come along. When they come one right after another. But I'll tell you what, you know, he's a fool. Satan's a fool. Satan's an absolute fool. You know why I know he's a fool? Because he never, 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 never gets the ones that he goes after if they belong to God. Never. He told God that if Job lost all he had, he'd cuss him to his face. But look what happened. Look down here in verse 20. Oh, look what happened now. Instead of Job getting angry and Job cussing him to his face, look what he said. Then Job arose after all this bad news. He's sitting down. They come in and told him. He arose. And he had on his robe. And one thing they do, they had ripped their robe to show them of the agony they was in. Like ripping their heart. Rending their heart. Let them know how grief-stricken they are. And he shaved his head. And listen to this. And he fell down on the ground. And he worshipped. He worshipped. And listen to what he said. You know, when I came into this world, I come into this world with absolutely nothing but nakedness. I didn't even have clothes to wear. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and I'm going to leave the world just like I come. Listen to this now. Oh, my. Oh, my. You know, he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And oh my, he blesses his maker. He worshiped. He didn't curse God. Now you know he felt these trials deeply. You couldn't lose your family. You couldn't lose everything you had. And be stoic about it. You know he was hurt deeply. You know he wept deeply. You know he fell on his face, and no telling how long he was on his face. I do know the next chapter says that he never spoke a word for 7 days. Sat in the ash pile for 7 days and never uttered a word. That's how low he was. I can't say anything. I'm so low, my heart is so broken, I'm so down that I can't even express my feelings. And oh my, his grief was great. Grief for great. But I tell you what, instead of saying the Chaldeans done it, you know what he said? He said the Lord gave, and the Lord took it away. He said, Satan didn't do this. He didn't. He said, I'm going to go back with nothing when I leave this world. All in between came from God. He said, the Lord gave. He gave my sheep. He gave my oxen. He gave my camels. He gave my children. And the Lord has taken them away. He didn't say, bad luck. I had bad luck today. He didn't say, oh, chance got me. He didn't say, I had misfortune. He didn't say Mother Nature dealt me an awful, awful hand. He didn't say Lady Luck really messed over me today. He didn't say I was dealt a bad hand. He doesn't say the Sabaeans did it. He doesn't say the Chaldeans did it. He didn't say the storms did it. Or anything else that took it away. He said the Lord hath taken. The Lord hath taken. The Lord hath taken. The Lord hath taken. He knew that wicked men, wind and lighting, and the plottings of wicked men and wicked spirits are all under his control. He said the Lord took it away. Took it away. Bruce and I was talking the other day, and you all know where he's at. And I said, Bruce, I said, when God takes the most precious thing to you out of your life, the most precious thing, you spit your life when he takes the most precious thing out of your home and out of your life, when he takes that, what else matters but God? When God's everything, then this place here is sure enough vanity. And that's what Job knew. In his worship, his heart was large toward God. You know what he said? Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job, you just lost everything you had. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, you know what a wicked man would have said? He said, listen, I'm going to get me an army together. And I'm going after them. I'm going to get them Sabaeans. I'm going to get them Chaldeans. Oh, that's what Satan expected Job to do. But instead he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless his holy name. Oh, I praise him. I adore him and all. And I tell you, this is more than just submission to God's will in suffering. It's more than that. Paul, that's what he meant when he talked about glory and in tribulation. He hurt. You know he hurt. And oh my, that's what our Lord said, of all that He has given me, I've lost nothing. I've lost nothing. Job may have lost everything, but he never lost God. And God never lost him. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you, Job, look what it says there in verse 22. And all this, and all this news, and all of this loss, and all of this suffering, and all of this grief, and all of this sorrow, in this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He never said, God, you gave everything I've got, and you can take it away. It belongs to you. Now, you remember I read to you here in chapter 2. And another day, he took everything that Job had, touched his substance. Now, he's going to go after Job himself. And there's a day when the sons of God came, presented themselves, Satan presented himself to. Walking to and fro, going up and down the earth, looking for something. God asked him again, said, you move me against him to destroy him without cause. Still, he's still a perfect and upright man. And listen to what the Lord, Satan said unto him, said to the Lord, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he'll give for his life. He said, when it comes right down to it, between life and death, a man will do everything he can to save his life. And that's what he's saying. So Satan said, now, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh and he'll curse you to your face. Told him again. Touch his body. Get down to his bones. Get into his flesh. Make his body weak. Make his body hurt. Make his mind hurt. Make his soul hurt. Make everything about him hurt. Make his heart hurt. Make his soul hurt. Make his mind hurt. Make everything about him to hurt. I want him to suffer. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but save your life. Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. And oh my, it's human nature so weak, he says that even the best of men that loves righteousness in God is an invisible. There's nothing so dear to a man than his life. He said, skin for skin. He'll give all that he has for his life. And they will. They will. Men are doing everything in their power. Scientists are studying, trying to get men to live longer and longer and longer and longer. And when it comes right down to it, if the doctor says, listen, you only got so much time and we got this new treatment, it's going to cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. I don't care what it costs. Just give me a few more days. Just give me a few more days. Huh? Oh my. Oh, self-preservation, strong. But it's not the strongest feeling a person has in his heart. That's not the strongest feeling a person has in his heart, self-preservation. Now you listen to what I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to give you Bible for this. Some hold truth and love for truth as the highest and the best thing that they've ever held possession in this world. Now what do I mean by that? Daniel. There's your man. They said, Daniel, I tell you what, if we catch you praying to any God but the one that we set up here, said, you're going to die. We're going to put you in the lion's den. Oh, Daniel said, I love my God. I love the truth. I love the worship of my God. And he turned and three times a day, got up in the morning, he called on his God. Stopped in the middle of the day and he called on his God. Stopped in the afternoon and he called on his God. You know what they did? They got him and threw him in the lion's den. He loved truth more than he did his own life. And the three Hebrew children told him the same thing. I'm telling you, if you all don't bow down and worship here, said, oh, listen, we'll throw you in that fire furnace. He said, go ahead, because we're not fixing to bow. And they threw him in that fire furnace. Huh? And I tell you what, Paul said, I count my life dear to myself. My life is not dear to myself. You know what's dear to me? Christ is dear to me. I desire to depart to be with Christ. You know, it don't take much to give a person to give up truth. It don't take much to get people to give up the public worship of God. It don't take much. It takes some effort to come worship God. You got to get ready. You got to put some clothes on. You got to brush your teeth. You got to comb your hair. You got to get out of the house. You got to buy gas. You got to get in the car. But folks will give up the truth so easily and give up the worship so easily. And these men here, they said, I don't even care about my own life. My life don't mean nothing to me. Christ means everything to me. Oh my. I'll tell you. You know, like Stephen. Stephen went to preaching. They got rocks and start throwing at him. And he got down on his knees and they kept beating on him until he died. And the last thing he's looked up and said, Lord Jesus, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he went and said, I see the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Oh my. And look at our forefathers. Nathan Hale said this, I regret that I have one life to give for my country. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. And men and women, you listen to me, men and women went to the stake, they was put on the rack, and they was burned, and they would go into glory, rejoicing. Oh, he believed God. He believed that great personal suffering Satan did would turn a believer against God Almighty. He said, put forth your hand and touch him. And it's true. It is true. Every one of us know this is true. That there's a connection between our spirit and our body, and our soul and our body, that when our body gets sick, then we get sick all over. It has affects our spiritual. It affects our heart. You know, we're so intertwined that when one part of us is hurting, the whole part hurts. But I do know this. When that great bodily servant tends to cause faithless murmurings, rebellious spirit, you know what the scripture says about the Lord's people? He said, we not only glory in tribulation, because tribulation works patience. Every trial God sends to us works patience. And then patience makes us have experiences. How many trials have we been through and we patiently waited on God, and that gave us an experience. We experienced God's hand on us, experienced God trying us. And then that experience gave us hope. And hope made us not ashamed. You know why? Because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, I'm persuaded, I'm convinced that neither life nor death, principalities or power, things present, things past, angels, principalities, powers, life, death, nothing. No height, no depth, no width to be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. God sends trials not for our benefit. I mean, listen, He sends trials our way, so He knows exactly how we're going to react. But it's for us and for other people. When we see believers go through something like we see what Job go through, when all those people seen what Job go through, and he continued to worship God. They said that's like Abraham. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham believed God. That's what they say. What there goes that old man? I'll tell you one thing about him. He believes God. How do you know? Because he worships him. He walks with him. Oh my. And I tell you, he had great, great power over human nature, Satan did. But his power can only move within fixed limits. And God said, he's in your hand, you just save his life. Satan has no power to think or move without God. He said, okay, you do this and that's all you can do. And his power is used to torture the body and corrupt the soul. Look what it said. And oh my, he stent them sore boils in verse 7 from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And look what poor old Job did. He sat down in ashes. You know why he sat down in ashes? Those ashes would give him some relief when he got him a pot, you know, and he broke it. Broke a pot. And they had these pieces of pot. And he took that piece of pot and he'd scrape himself. Can you imagine the pus and the corruption and the pain that he had as he scraped himself down his legs, up his arms, and his belly on his side, up and down his legs, and oh my, just scratch, scrape, scrape, scrape. Scrape, sitting in them ashes. Get some ashes and put over them. Try to get some relief. Oh my. And oh my. He is merciless. Job's in agony from the foot to his head. And then look what he does to his wife. He makes his own wife to turn against him. Look what it said in verse 9. Oh my, you're talking about when your wife turns against you, if your wife is not sympathetic, if your wife is not with you, and your wife is not weeping with you, not suffering with you, and she turns around, look what she said. Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? You still think you're something, Job? You still going to retain your integrity? You're not going to give up? And listen, she said, just go ahead and curse God and lay down here and die. Get this over with. Just lay down and die and get it over with. Oh my. It caused her to be heartless. And I'm telling you something. She was always that way. It was just manifested when this trouble came. And what you are is what you'll be when trouble comes. People say, boy, he's a mean old man. He's always a mean old man. He just got old enough to start manifesting it and didn't care what anybody thought about it. If you're mean, you're just mean. That's all you say about it. But anyway, look what he said. He had worked on Job's body. Worked on his wife's soul just to get him to blaspheme his maker. Satan's grand purpose with man is, his master plan, is to turn Job, any of God's people, and to prove that religion, their religion, is just really nothing but selfishness. You're only doing it for what you can get. But he failed. He gloriously failed. Look what Job says to his wife in verse 10. He said unto her, you speak as one of the most foolish women I've ever heard. You speak like a fool. Oh, you speak like a fool. What if we ever told our wives that, you know what happened? It'd be awful. But she was. She was a fool. He said, woman, and that's what he called her, woman. Didn't say wife. He said, woman, you're a fool. And then he said, what? What is your problem? Shall we not receive good at the hand of God? Oh, yes, we love to get the good out of the hand of God. But shall we not also receive evil? Shall we not receive trouble? And all this, did not Job sin with his mouth? And all this, with everything that happened, over and over and over, God proved that Satan is a liar. I'll get him.
It's like when our Lord, Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you to prison. I'll go to death with you. And he said, Simon Peter, Satan has sought to sift you as wheat.
But he said, you know why you're not going to be fade away and your faith ain't going to... I prayed for you. Listen to this. That your faith fail not.
And you know what Job said later? In chapter 17 and verse 9, he said, the Lord knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me,
I shall come forth as gold. He said, God's doing this. And when he's done, I'm going to shine like gold. And that Houston said this the other night when I done this last time I preached here on Sunday night. He didn't curse God and he worshiped. But you know, Houston said that. He said, our abbot's greater than our adversary. I said, man, why don't you holler that out to me? I said, I could have really used that right that time. But our advocate, our Lord Jesus Christ, is greater than our adversary. And he said, all which you have given me, he told his father, I've not lost none of them. And he ain't fixing to lose one of them. Oh my. The only way to withstand the wiles of the devil is, as Job, attribute all to God. You know that verse that says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. That means from the time he was born into this world to the time we leave. And I tell you, worship God. Everything in this life is a gift. Is a gift. And if God takes, and God's fixing to take Bruce's wife, he knows it. She knows it. And you know what he says? Every time you talk to him, how you doing? I'm doing all right. How's Job? She's doing okay. She's doing, you know, and he'll tell me how things are. But I do know this, that he's worshiping God. He's giving God all the glory. He's not found one fault in what God's done. She ain't found one fault in what God's done. And we ain't going to find fault in anything God does to anybody on this earth. We're not going to do it. God helping me, I ain't. God take my voice away from me if I ever find myself saying something against God. Strike me dumb. Don't never let me say nothing against how he deals with anybody in this world. Amen. He is God. We're God. You know, I'm living right now and moving and have my being because he's God. And I don't have nothing that he didn't give me. Not absolutely. The money I got in my pocket, he gave it to me. The house I live in, he gave it to me. The farm that I had down there and worked on so hard, he gave it to me. And everything he gives us, I'm going to try my best to take care of it because he gave it. I'm going to be a steward over what God gave me. Be steward over my house. Be steward over my body. Be steward over my wife. Be steward over my friends. Be steward over everything God gave me. I don't want to waste anything God's got. Don't want to misuse it, do you? Oh, bless. We're going to do like Job. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we worship. Our Father, oh our God, oh Lord, who is like unto thee? Oh, the abundance of grace you gave Job, the strength you gave Job, the comfort and assurance you gave Job when everything was against him. The world was against him, his wife was against him, his servants was against him. And yet, Lord, he worshiped you. He blessed you. He praised you. And Lord, we've seen men down through the ages. We've seen men that we know personally that had great loss in their life. Great, great loss in their life. And yet they blessed the Lord. And they praised the Lord. And they worshiped the Lord. And oh God, help us to honor and bless and praise your holy name. And Lord, don't let our religion be just a religion of selfishness. Not worship you just because of what you give us, but worship you because of who you are. Worship you because of the truth. Worship you because of the holiness and righteousness and glory that only you possess. And the truth that you taught us and gave us. Oh God, give it to us. Help us to honor and bless your holy name. We ask in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'll see you Wednesday, God willing.